European Football Weekly. Dan Riccio, Derek Brandeo, and Gord Brunt around the table in the Sportsnet 590 The Fan studios. It is a big week edition. Yeah, big week. I just didn't want to say match day number 16, but I did anyways. Arsenal, are the wheels falling off for the Gunners? We'll answer that question here on EFW this week. Also, AVB out. Did it take too long? Maybe. There's a few things we'll discuss about that as well. We'll take a look at La Liga, where Neymar continues to star for Barcelona. Real Madrid drop points in La Liga as well. We'll look at the Serie A, the UCL draw, in other words, the Champions League draw, and 11 mistakes yet again. At EFWSN590 is where you can get us up on the Twitter, dan.riccio at sportsnet590.ca via email. And wow, guys, what a weekend. Gord, this was a tough one for you. We'll get to Arsenal Manchester City, but elsewhere, how was your weekend?
It was a tough one all around in all sports, to be honest with
you.
Fantasy football, the NFL version, is coming to a head, and it looks like I will not be advancing to the finals. So I'm
nobody
pretty upset.
Cares.
Pretty upset.
Nobody cares.
Well, you just asked me, Dan. What do you want?
I'm just saying nobody cares. Derek?
He's just ribbing on you because you were giving him a hard time earlier.
Derek?
Yes?
How was your weekend?
I worked.
Yeah.
And
that's swell.
It is, isn't it? It's just, you know, it's what, you know, gives us that strong backbone in our
it's
life.
Nothing better than working during Snowmageddon.
Wouldn't you like to go back and, you know, just...
Not work?
I don't know. Stop the guy who invented work from inventing it.
Yeah. How about just, you know, going back to elementary school when, you know, you didn't really have a care in the world.
Yeah, no, but you're kind of really dumb back then, too.
Yeah, so. I guess so.
Go to 17, because I didn't have a job till I was 17.
Although that that little girl that was... handshaking with Liverpool before the Tottenham match this week. She seemed to be having all the fun in the world, and she's smart. She knows Luis Suarez is kind of an idiot.
It looks like her dad probably put her up to that one.
What did she do? The little hand
on
her head?
Classic. And she's, Louis didn't really have a reaction, but it was
so
awesome.
If you hadn't seen it, this little girl is shaking hands with all the Liverpool players, and then when she gets to Luis Suarez, she kind of just sticks her tongue out at him and puts her hand on her and on her head and shakes it at him and moves on to the next player.
So she's the one to blame.
Yes, she is the one. She got the engine roaring for the Liverpool team, and they thus thrashed
Do you think she went home and cried at how easily
her Tottenham
Luis
Hotspurs,
Suarez
yeah.
just swatted away that?
I think
what
there
we
was,
thought was, you know, a solid team. And
there was a lot of Spurs fans that went home crying this weekend, much to the delight of Gord Brunt, who had a difficult Saturday when Manchester City defeated Arsenal 6-3 at the Etihad, maintaining their 100% home record. And they averaged like 4 goals a game at the Etihad, guys.
Yeah, it's...
I mean, they were dominant from the start, and it pretty much continued throughout the match. Arsenal... good on them for responding and putting up 3 goals of their own, but they just couldn't stop this City squad, Gord.
Yeah, the only positive for Arsenal in this match was just the fact that they pretty much scored more goals at the Etihad than the entire Premier League combined this year. And I don't know if they can really bank on that as being something to take pride in, but it was an awful loss for Arsenal. It was, in my eyes, the worst thrashing they've taken since that dreadful day a few years ago when they lost to United 8-2.
Yeah, it was a tough defeat, and City really showed how strong they can be. And really, following this match, a lot of people are talking about it being City's title to lose. Now, they're still 4 points behind Arsenal.
Yeah, I don't know. People are kind of jumping the gun a little bit. What happens with Liverpool and Chelsea no longer matter anymore?
Yeah.
Really?
You could say Manchester City on their day, which is usually at home. The Etihad.
Yeah, at home, it's unquestionable. Yeah. They are the best team in the Premier League, easily, without a doubt.
Oh, yeah, I'm expecting a 10-2 thrashing for the Gunners at the Emirates, no doubt.
But yeah,
that's how it works, right?
Let's temper expectations here a little bit, because we've seen them put out performances like this, and then the following week they're on the road to Cardiff or Aston Villa and they just look like a completely different team, Derek.
I've scratched my head many a times to wonder what exactly is going on with that team. They just don't seem to... I don't know if it's the fact that it's the road games or if these just aren't big enough games, quote unquote, for them to get up for, because they seem to be willing to play any of the best teams out there and go, you know, blow for blow.
Yeah.
But it just seems when they go on the road against, you know, here comes the hate mail, inferior opposition, they just don't seem to, they seem to play down to that level almost. They just seem to think that they're almost believing their own hype a little bit. I'm not exactly sure what it is, but that could be something.
I'm definitely going to keep a close eye on their match tomorrow with Leicester City, away at Leicester City.
Oh, that's a loss. Oh. For sure it's a loss.
Oh, that's a trap game.
It has to be.
That's a trap game.
It's a letdown game, right?
They're so bad on the road, the odds probably aren't that good to take Leicester City.
Leicester should be a favorite, you know? Okay.
I'm calling my bookie right now.
All kidding aside, the one thing for City in this match, Sergio Aguero ends up with an injury and looks like he'll be out for up to a month.
Yeah.
And the question is, where does City go with their striking options? We know they have Edin Dzeko, Alvaro Negredo.
Several directions they can go with their striking options. And as an Arsenal fan, you're thinking, oh, yes, Aguero's going off. 47th minute, the goals were stalled. No, there's four other goals afterwards. They've just got so many scoring options on this team that I don't. It's going to be a loss without Aguero, no doubt. What is it, 6 weeks he might be out?
Yeah.
So I think they're going to find the goals from other options on the team. They're just that deep.
Yeah, I think there's goals everywhere on that midfield.
Nasri's
playing a lot better than he did last year and looks just much more assertive on the ball. David Silva looks like, when he's healthy, of course, looks like he's back into form as well. And, you know, Fernandinho finally potted a couple. Who saw that coming this week?
You know, that nice finesse goal. Where the hell did that come from?
And, you know, I don't think we have to talk or, you know, bring any more superlatives to what we think of Yaya Toure.
Yeah, I mean, the guy is just, he's...
Money.
He's unbelievable, for lack of a better term. I will leave my answer.
Chance for Jovetic as well to finally impress.
Yeah, and I was going to get to that in 11.
Ah, beat
mistakes.
You to it, son.
I'll get to that answer a little bit later on in the show. An injury for Arsenal as well in this one, a nasty one. If you haven't seen the laceration to Koscielny's knee, he tweeted out a picture, and we have thus sent out the picture ourselves on at EFWSN 590. It's not very picturesque.
Since when our gash is. Oh, that's just such a pretty little gash.
And, you know, the Arsenal defense looked tired and a little bit exhausted, I guess, to repeat what I just said, to start the match. But then when they lost Koscielny, they looked even worse with Vermaelen in there. And really, Vermaelen and Mertesacker doesn't look to be that great of a partnership right now, and Vermaelen obviously rusty, not having played in so long, Gord. How do you think Arsenal shores up this defensive issue?
Yeah, it was always going to be a shaky partnership from the get-go once Koscielny went off, because simply they haven't needed Vermaelen. They've just gone with Koscielny and Mertesacker at the back. The pair have been amazing this season. They've accounted for some of the best defensive, one of the best defensive records in the Premier League. So, obviously, this is a time for Vermaelen to really seize this opportunity of trying to get his spot back in the starting 11. So, he's definitely got the skills and the capability to do it. He just needs to prove it. Him and Mertesacker need to work endlessly in the training ground just to get ready for the next match.
Yeah, and Theo Walcott comes back from injury, gets the start. I mean, he's been back for a couple of weeks, but I think this was the first start that he got. And he looked pretty good, scoring twice for the Gunners in this one. I got to ask, I guess we'll start with you, Derek. There was a lot of talk about Arsenal not rotating the squad enough, and going into the Etihad was always going to be a tough deal. And they went in with very tired legs. Now, that's partially not their fault, how many games they have to play and how many big games they've had to play in the last couple of weeks. But is this a sign of the Gunners not having enough depth to continue this run at the top of the BPL table throughout the whole season?
Well, they're still in first place.
Yeah.
Plus the Jack Wilshere middle finger salute is going to probably cost him
a couple of matches.
At least one. And that's not good news against Chelsea as well.
Yeah.
I guess the best news for Arsenal is that they actually get a week off. in between matches.
Thank God they lost to the Capital One Cup about a month ago, Igor.
This was all in Arsene's plan. He knew what was going to happen. He saw the little bunch of games. He's like, we need to get out of that damn tournament.
Yeah, I think Arsenal has depth. It's just that they've had so many small injuries. You know, Cazola was out for a while, then Walcott got hurt again. And I think those guys they've been kind of rotating some of the midfield with Flamini in there. I think, you know, Arteta and Ramsey and Wilshere have been kind of not as much as probably you'd like. You'd probably prefer to have Walcott out there instead of Wilshere where he's playing. But they've been able to maintain this run so far. Now, unfortunately, though, maybe with Wilshere's yellow card, this could be the time that they're caught just because of, you know, the extra injuries that they've kind of got right now. And Koscielny's a really big, big injury because I guess up front they've been able to cope with that. But now they're going to be really tested because I think some of what we've all, you know, always feared about Arsenal, you know, how they kind of wilt against the physical play might actually be even more shown up now just because Vermaelen just doesn't look like he's still ready to, or he's up to speed at least.
Yeah, I can certainly agree with that. Earlier in the season, we talked about Ozil disappearing in the big matches, and that
from time to time
certainly seemed to be the case this weekend. We know one of our faithful followers, Juan Diaz, has tweeted that at us a couple of times and talked about it. Ozil, for me, did disappear in this match. He did have the one assist, but was largely not around, it seemed, for Arsenal when they needed him most.
Not a ball winner, let's just put it that way.
What did you think of Ozil's performance, Gord?
It was poor, obviously. Other than the assist, he also assisted Manchester City on that.
I think that's just as much on Flamini as it is on Ozil.
Yeah, but you still have to put the blame on someone, so I'm going to put it on Ozil. But yeah, it's appearing that way that, yes, he is disappearing in the big matches, but I still feel like he's adjusting to this English physical style of football, and it's going to take time. Obviously, he's a great talent, and we've seen it. We've seen it in games. We've seen flashes of it. So you can't count him out. You can criticize him all you want, but he's still a great player and will prove it in the coming matches.
A bit of a debate that I got into on Twitter with some followers at DanRicho590 is whether or not the big teams have to beat other big teams in a title-winning season. And I don't think that's always the case. You can get by with a draw,
until
not losing all of them.
Until they change the point structure where, you know, if you beat Manchester City at home, you get 10 points because they're so amazing this year. And you beat Crystal Palace at home, it's still 3 points. So it doesn't matter. The objective is to
get... You certainly can't lose all the games against the other big teams.
No, exactly. And this year, it's going to be even more difficult because there seems to be a group of seven or eight even.
Yeah.
That are, you know, as close as ever before or have been since the introduction of the Barclays Premier League. So this year you're going to have to get those. That's eight. That's a huge chunk of the schedule that you've got to get points out of.
I can't expect
to lose those games or draw and come out victorious. I think that's what's happened with Manchester United so far. They have not fared well against the other big teams they've played.
Yeah.
They've even had some poor results against some of the lesser lights, but they are where they are because they're just not getting enough points.
I think the big thing is for you to not drop points at home. Do your best to get the 3 points, but you cannot go pointless at home against the big teams. At least come out of it with a draw. As long as that record's good, there's not a lot you can do. It's always difficult traveling away, whether it's Manchester City or Selhurst Park with Crystal Palace. It's always going to be tough. The crowd's always going to be against you, but as long as you get those points at home, whether it be 1 or 3 points, I think you should be in the title talk.
Yeah, and look at Arsenal. They're at the top of the table right now because they've beaten the teams that they should beat. Now, they lost to Aston Villa in week one, but since then, the only teams they've lost to are Manchester United and Manchester City. Teams like Manchester City and Chelsea have dropped points to Cardiff, Aston Villa, you know, teams like that aren't
the
teams that you should be beating. So Arsenal's top of the table lead is because they are beating teams that they should beat. And I still maintain that you don't have to win all the games against the big teams to end up winning the title come the end of the season. All right, we'll move on here on European Football Weekly. Dan Riccio, Derek Brandeo, Gord Brunt sitting around the Sportsnet 590, the Fan Studios. Chelsea, they get a win against Crystal Palace this week, 2-1 at Stamford Bridge, but they didn't make it easy, Derek. Once again, Chelsea squandering chances in front of goal. And I think one of the questions I have is, will this eventually work itself out where they start taking their chances, or will it continue to be a persistent problem throughout the season?
Well, you got to think that the law of averages does eventually weigh out, and you have to just continue to create the chances. You're not going to score goals unless you create the chances. But I think credit has to be given to Tony Pulis here as well, who's really transformed this Crystal Palace team into looking like they're going to be able to somehow crawl out of that bottom three.
Well, you know, they got a Premier League goal scorer now, one of the premier goal scorers in the Barclays Premier League.
With one of the most amazing faux hawks you'll see anywhere.
Gord, does Arsenal bring back Shamak for cover on Giroud? I mean, should we start having this conversation? 3 goals in 3 matches?
I tell you what, when you see Nicholas Bentner coming off the bench against Manchester City, anything is possible with this flipping team.
Anybody can get a recall. Eh?
Oh, God.
But I think he's got a ridiculous percentage, doesn't he?
Yeah.
He scored on...
He's scoring
70% of his shots or something like that.
Yeah, he's scoring at quite the clip right now. Willian plays for Chelsea in this match. We know he was a big summer signing, despite the fact that they have a plethora of options in his position. Hasn't had a real run of games, but he was man of the match for them, for me in this one. Winning the ball back in possession, successfully getting his teammates into spaces where they could create those chances and get chances on goal. And this is the type of performance that I think Jose Mourinho would see and say, all right, this guy's just earned himself a nice little run of games going forward here.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what it is. It's a constant competition in this deep Chelsea squad. There's always going to be fights for places in the starting 11. And with performances like this from Willian, it looks like he's getting a lot more comfortable with the players around him. And he's shown these flashes of brilliance that will keep him in that starting 11 as long as he can keep up this great play.
This is kind of what Mourinho has to get out of this team. He needs to get the goals because it doesn't appear that the strikers are going to be scoring them.
Yeah.
He needs to get them from the midfield.
Yeah.
So he needs Willian to step up. He needs Oscar to continue doing what he's doing. Mata to adjust a little faster. If Mata can start scoring again with the adjustment to playing on the wing, then you've got some serious firepower on this Chelsea team.
Yeah.
Especially when Hazard can go off. Hazard's problem is he's not consistent.
And I'll tell you why he's not consistent. He's too predictable.
Yeah.
He's got the cut and move. And look, teams, it was evident with Crystal Palace this weekend. They were playing him to have that cut and move on his right foot and take the shot at goal.
Yeah.
And it was predictable. And it nullified him a bit. Now, I still thought he had a good game, but
though you know what he's going to do, it's still tough to stop.
It's still tough to stop. Yes, I would agree with
that. He's doing it at full speed. He's not doing it at some leisurely pace or anything like this.
If he's going to be more consistent with his goals, though, I think he's got to develop his game a little bit more to being more than that.
Yeah, I think there has to be a decision in his game plan. If he's going to try to score goals, he needs to be a little more direct.
Yeah.
Play maybe, you know, take a page out of Ronaldo's book, who also plays on the same side. Or if he wants to be more of, you know, the dual threat goals and playmaker, then he needs to get that ball into service more often. And he needs to get the strikers involved.
And that's the type of player I think he's going to mold into. He's only 22 years old right now.
More of a Ribery, I think. Yeah.
He's definitely going to improve over the next few years. He's just working out the kinks right now. And yeah, I think in the next 3 years, he's going to be one of the premier players in the world.
Yeah, so young still is... Eden Hazard, the young Belgian. All right, Chelsea and Arsenal. It sets up a wonderful match next week on Monday, which is basically a battle for first place. Chelsea just 2 points behind Arsenal, and a win against Arsenal next week would put them at the top of the table.
Doesn't it feel good to have called that out
a
couple weeks ago and to see it come to fruition?
I guess so.
Sorry, Gord.
It wasn't the typical route to get there,
no.
I guess, but... It could happen still. All right, let's move along here. Aston Villa, 0-3, Manchester United. A big performance from David Moyes' men. Rooney, brilliant again. I don't know what else you can say about the guy. He's having a fantastic season, pretty much the
don't
only
lay
one.
Lay the ball off to Welbeck and score so my fantasy points can continue to climb. That's what I can say to him. Other than that, though, you know.
Yeah,
the transplant looks fantastic.
Yeah. Welbeck scores twice. cleverly scores as well. The two most criticized United players. I mean, what's next? Anderson's going to score next week.
Kagawa's going to get the starts in the next three games.
Anderson's going to show up in shape. That's probably more of the...
More of the question?
More of the wishful thinking, Mike, yeah. I would say. Because he can still... Anybody can score a
Ashley
goal,
Young's going to hit the net.
Yeah.
Ashley Young's not going to dive.
Yeah, Ashley Young is going to score, have a couple of goals in the next couple of weeks if this trend is to continue for the Red Devils. But Darren Fletcher, here's a nice story, gets back, performs as a substitute, and immediately, I mean, the guy should have some rust after, you know, more than a year off, almost 2 years.
Looked really good.
Yeah, and immediately you can see better movement in the United midfield. Now, granted, it is Aston Villa, but I noticed right from the get-go when Darren Fletcher was in, the ball was moving through him in the midfield, and United looked better for it.
He might be that perfect replacement for Carrick while he's out on injury. Definitely, it's almost like a new signing right now, bringing a player of this talent in, not showing any signs of rust. It's great news for Moyes and United and me as a Scotland fan. Hopefully he can get in the team there. But Darren Fletcher, pure class. There's a reason why they kept him around through these injuries. They know the quality he has, and we saw a glimpse of it here on Sunday.
Oh, one of Fergie's favorites, absolutely. Yeah. A guy who never complained.
I got to mention in Fergie's farewell speech at Old Trafford.
Yeah. He was, I guess, the quintessential like Manchester United player. Never, you know, did whatever was asked of him and did it well. Was a player that didn't really like, you know, never really was nice on the eyes to look at times, but was just effective and just always got the job done. And I think he is exactly what United need to pair with Carrick when Carrick comes back as well. Somebody who can help him move the ball along and who's not afraid to, you know, stick a foot in there.
Yeah, and Phil Jones puts in another fantastic performance. The guy is... I love him! I think he's United's third best player. Seriously.
He is a beast. He is a very good defender.
Yeah.
I cannot take that away from him.
But he makes the dumbest faces sometimes. I swear to God.
My favorite face was the... Footballers with boobs picture.
I was just going to mention it. It's my favorite one.
I don't know. Shinji's is pretty good too.
We shouldn't be promoting nudity here on the show, but it's great.
It's anime nudity. Yeah. Right? And it's very poorly done, might I add.
I still haven't even seen
it. Oh, you have to see it.
Actually,
right,
Jonas Gutierrez one is actually really classy.
The Cavani one I thought was pretty good as well. And the Alan Pardew.
They're all brilliant. Yeah. We're just going to keep going through the names.
Do you have the Cristiano Ronaldo one up on wall?
No, I don't have any of them. I need to see boobs, Dan, I just nudge Lady Lynn.
At footballers with boobs. I will preface it by saying you should be 18 years or older to look at it.
Not safe for work.
Yeah, not safe for work. Asgord is looking at it right now.
I just realized that the HR is probably monitoring what I'm doing on the computer, so I just quickly closed it.
Just look on your phone.
Just look on your phone. You should have heard the howl out of Jeff Blair when I showed him.
It's just great fun. So check that out on Twitter. We'll get to the Tottenham Hotspurs in the next segment. We'll finish off this segment, though, with Everton's 4-1 win at home against Fulham. And Everton, while every other team in the Premier League has lost at least three games, Everton has lost only once. They didn't even play well in this match, and they won 4-1.
They should have won 4-0. That
they
was
do lead the league in draws, but yes it's
do.
A very
and
impressive
clean
record.
Sheets, yep. Might I add.
12 goals against this year. Is that no? It's 15. Sorry.
Yeah, nope, very sturdy. Again, not the best performance up until I think the 70th minute when they really took over and started scoring some goals. All that possession, I think, really tired out Villa. All that possession tired out Fulham eventually, and they were just able to, you know, do it again. They're just extremely impressive right now. And look where the goals came from.
Yeah,
Osman.
Not Lukaku this
time. No, Lukaku. And unfortunately, though, the one bad thing to come out of this game is the leg injury to Deulofeu, who, you know, at least was giving Morales something to think about in the back of his head, at least for the season. But it looks like that, you know, Morales is going to get the stretch run here again. But he scored a goal, so it's nice to see him come back into that form. But the team is just playing extremely, really well right now. They're so compact. There's just, and the passing.
Yeah.
They're just fun to watch.
Yeah, they really are. And Gareth Barry scored.
Yeah, Lukaku assist.
Gareth Barry with the goal for Everton. And
nods it in from, what, a yard away?
Yeah. With, that's why I had to mention it. It was very Phil Jones-esque.
Seamus Coleman, another goal.
A lot better than the goal he scored on his own team last year against Southampton, right?
Yes.
Maybe the best own goal ever for Manchester City while he was playing with them. Gareth Barry.
It wasn't pretty.
No, it wasn't.
I don't know. Phil Bardsley's own goal recently was pretty.
Yes, that was pretty bad as well.
Yeah, that. Continue.
But you look at Everton's fixtures coming up throughout the end of the year. At Swansea next week at the Liberty Stadium. So that's a difficult
match.
They could definitely get 3 points there. At home to Sunderland. So that looks like 3 points. And the way Southampton is going, they don't look like that.
Well, that's still, I'd still be cautious.
It's still a tough match, but they haven't been playing as well of late either. So they finish off the year with 3 winnable matches, Everton does. And so it's very interesting.
Well, all that hard work playing, you know, the top teams in the league, unfortunately.
And playing well against them.
Yeah, you know, they haven't won, you know, exactly all of them, but they've been able to nick points here and there. And now you have to reap the rewards of, you know, getting the softer, schedule. And you need to continue with the momentum here. And there's no reason to think that as they're going, they shouldn't be the favorite to come away with at least 7 points.
Yeah, and coming away with 5 points against the likes of Liverpool, Manchester United, and Arsenal, it's
very impressive
at this part of the
and
season.
And the win against Chelsea, too.
Yeah, and they're going, it seems like they've just cleared the hurdle of their tough part of the season. Now they're easing into these lower teams that they should be expected to get points from. So it's looking really good for Everton for their campaign in the top four and maybe even further.
Yeah, and while we're talking about easy schedules to end the year, Manchester United has the easiest of any of the top 10 teams in the Premier League, where they don't face any of the top 10 teams. They face West Ham, Hull, and Norwich to finish off their 2013 year. So it should be, this is the time for David Moyes to get points with Manchester United to try to make that climb back up to the top four. All right, we'll get to the Tottenham Hotspurs and AVB's sacking to start the next segment. We'll also get to 11 mistakes, our thoughts on the Champions League draw, and a look around Europe, and so much more at EFWSN590 on Twitter, dan.richo at sportsnet590.ca. This is European Football Weekly.
Like free sports tickets, trips, and memorabilia so you can trick your friends, colleagues, and mistresses into thinking that you're some sort of high roller? Hey, join the club.
Welcome to the club.
The Fan Club. Log on to sportsnet590.ca.
European Football Weekly. I'm Dan Riccio, Derek Brandeo, and Gord Brunt sitting around the table in the Sportsnet 590 The Fan Studios. We survived Snowmageddon, everybody. So we're here on Monday.
No one cares.
Because we survived Snowmageddon here in Toronto. For any of our American listeners, we're living in igloos right now. This is happening.
We have to wear skis when we're going down the street.
Yeah.
Or snowshoes. Yeah, either one.
We wear snowshoes as we walk
no hills,
in.
Remember?
I cross country ski, man.
All the way in from Whitby, huh?
Yeah.
Cottage Country got 100 centimeters of snow this weekend.
No one's there, so who cares? for our American friends who don't know, a lot of people who live in the GTA area buy, summer homes, cottages in cottage country, we call it. And then they've, you know, en masse migrate during the summer.
And every weekend.
En masse shut down at the same time around October. And then no one goes up there except for the few people who live there and say, thank God they're all gone.
All those city slickers.
But lots of snow this weekend here in Toronto. So I'm glad you guys were all looking out for us and we survived. So we're here.
Woo.
Who's our friend in San Jose?
Daniel Tellez.
Daniel Tellez does not care that we got snow. He was upset that it was
What the hell is snow is what he's thinking right now.
He was probably upset that it was like 15 degrees where he was at.
But wait, what's that in Fahrenheit? Because he wouldn't...
Yeah.
15 degrees is freezing in Fahrenheit.
Like mid-60s?
No, I think it's... Yeah, 50-something.
Around 20 is 72,
I think it's
right?
in the 50 or degrees 70. Or something like that.
I don't know.
69.
It's been a long time since I was in school, so I don't know these things anymore.
69 is room temperature, which is like 21 or not 20 degrees here.
Yeah.
Enough science, though, for everyone.
Let's try and get this show back on track. At EFWSN590 is where you can get us on Twitter. At Dan Riccio's 590 is where you can get me on Twitter. At DRKBrandSN590 is where you can find Derek. And Gord, shockingly enough, is at GordBrunt590. All right. Tottenham Hotspurs. Boy, was this a match at White Hart Lane. One for the ages, you might say.
One that hasn't been seen in 16 years, you might say.
5-0 drubbing at the hands of the Steven Gerrard and Daniel Sturridge-less Liverpool.
But Luis Suarez led.
Yeah, and this
that's your biggest problem
was
right
as much a good performance from Liverpool as it was a awful performance from the Tottenham Hotspur.
Very abject.
Yeah.
The sending off didn't help, although deserved. But
yeah, I think so. When I first saw it, the Paulinho sending off, I was like, eh. But then he makes contact with Luis Suarez's chest.
He's not even looking at the ball. It's just all around dangerous. It's kind of like that nanny play that got him sent off against Real Madrid.
Was that a De Jong?
It was close.
It was very close to a De Jong. So,
well, at first I thought it was Luis Suarez making a meal out of it, but really you can't fault Suarez on that one.
And just the look on AVB when he knew he was fired
right then and there.
That was the nail in the coffin.
Yeah.
I don't know. I thought there was a meeting afterwards and they thought they weren't going to do it. And then it kind of.
According to Marcotti on ESPN.
More details will eventually come out.
Something changed overnight, according to Marcotti, that made Spurs want to give him the axe. And so they did, which I think is deserved. I mean, you at home against Liverpool without two of their three best players, you would say. And you lose 5-0, there's really no excuse for it. And this isn't a one-off. They lost 3-0 at home to West Ham, who can barely score a goal ever.
The Newcastle results probably did not help either.
And the 6-0 loss at the Etihad, which I guess is normal, but still, nobody should lose 6-0.
No. There's been a lot of...
If you consider yourself a top-four contender.
There's been a lot of abject... results and just the team has not looked cohesive at times. It didn't help that I think Kapuwe was playing
center back
and Michael Dawson does not look.
Yeah, you can say, hey, there's some injury concerns here.
Danny Rose as well.
Yeah, Danny Rose is out. Jan Vertonghen is out.
At the same time, though, you should be, as a coach, you should know that you can't play your regular tactics and the high line that everyone's been discussing here.
Even at Chelsea, he was. Adamant about playing this high line.
I get the high line. Every other successful team outside of England plays the high line. And they do it quite well and they win things, surprisingly.
But you have to know whether or not your players can actually execute.
When you've got Kapuwe and Dawson, who are routinely getting beaten on diagonal balls. And how good is Luis Suarez at chasing those balls
down?
Exactly. Right? So he has to take a lot of blame, which he did. He did take complete fault for this loss, but unfortunately... He's gone, and one of the weird things is, you know, he is the coach at Tottenham with the highest winning percentage ever.
Yep, saw that.
He has as much Gareth Bale to thank for that than anything else, I think. But yeah, he's stubborn in his ways, and as much as he is a Mourinho disciple,
he does not have the man management that Mourinho does. That is becoming very apparent because he leaves scorched bridges behind him.
Yeah, and at the same time, and we noticed this as few weeks ago as Chelsea playing against Southampton. Mourinho noticed he got his tactics against Southampton wrong that day. He started off the match horribly. He made changes immediately to rectify that. AVB, I find he's stubborn. He goes, and this 4-2-3-1 system, it hasn't been working all season long. Change something. Throw out Soldado and Defoe together. Mm-hmm. Do something. He just stubborn, kept going. Same thing each and every week, same tactics, and...
I don't want to get too much into the tactics of AVB because when he was at Porto, the team didn't really interchange positions fluidly. They were just a very well-oiled machine, and they took up space and where they were supposed to be. So it was players playing like in zonal situations. Anyway, this is kind of boring, but you got to think it's the man management eventually that's coming down to it because... you know, he got the kiss of death, the player's support, a couple weeks ago?
Yeah.
And we know that it was a player revolt, mutiny at Chelsea. So he's going to have to learn to deal with these big egos if he wants to be a top flight manager, one that is taking charge of the Chelseas. And Tottenham's not even there yet at that point. They're trying to get there. And I don't even... And how much of a setback is this going to be? Like, I know that there's whispers... Well, Martin O'Neill's around, but...
Yeah.
Who's out there?
Yeah, it's so tough to find a manager in December, really. It's almost as if they're going to have to do the whole caretaker thing and wait to see who becomes available in the summertime at this rate. Are you going to get – you must have already had somebody in mind, a premier coach that's out there, jobless right now, or you're going to go the caretaker route. You had to have had that decision made before you fired AVB, but – I don't know. Maybe I heard Capello was seen in the hallways at White Hart Lane. So maybe
look,
he could step in.
Capello
would that be the style that White Hart Lane, like the Tottenham Hotspur fans, want to see?
I think just want wins right now. They want goals. They want something. They just anything but the start that they've had.
And does Capello really have the squad or the back line to? I don't know.
January's coming up, so he could add to it.
I don't not see it.
After spending £100 million, I don't see Tottenham spending much money at all in January.
Yeah.
And the thing with Capello is he's the coach of Russia. So if he's coming, it's going to be in the summer after the World Cup.
You never know. They could do the whole national team and club team. But
yeah, it's possible. But it is the obvious choice to speculate about because there's the connection with Franco Baldini, who is their technical director. They were together at Roma. They've done a lot of work together, even at Real Madrid. That seems like the obvious speculative choice. Some other names, we've heard Michael Laudrup, but this is something that can't happen mid-season.
No.
So,
Pochettino,
I've
heard
as well. And Roberto Di Matteo. But then again, you know, Steve Clark just got the axe this weekend as well, and seems like Di Matteo may be going to West Brom. So I think they end up going with an interim manager for the rest of the year and then try to get their man in the summer. We'll talk more about this as the season goes on, but just time is not our friend to keep talking about the Tottenham Hotspurs. And look, I just want to give Liverpool their due because they played fantastic in this match.
Oh, yeah. I don't think we're giving them enough credit here. They were all and out complete team here. Didn't even give up one shot on net in this
match. Credit to John Henderson or to Jordan Henderson, because I didn't think he could fill the Gerrard role, but he played the number 10 this week and played it very, very, very well.
Was very admirable in his
work. Like Tottenham just could not deal with his running and made the pass on Luis Suarez's first goal.
Was it Lucas Leiva that took up Gerrard's spot this year? Gerrard plays more in a deeper role now, but
Jordan played kind of in a number 10 role, and I thought it was very admirable. I didn't think Liverpool could cope all that well without Gerrard, but Jordan Henderson proved me wrong. All right, let's keep it moving here on European Football Weekly. Other results in the Barclays Premier League. Norwich 1, Swansea 1. A beauty from Gary Hooper. I think I might go out and get a Gary Hooper kit. I don't know why. Maybe it's the yellow and green.
Why don't you get the Celtic one, Dan?
No.
Huh?
That not happening.
Why don't you get the Scottish jersey with who? Oh, wait, he's not Scottish.
I don't care.
Just saying. Something you bugged me over the last couple of weeks about this guy.
Something about Gary Hooper. It
screams really nicely.
Yeah.
Bad news for Swansea, though. Dyer kind of went down with that was a weird injury. It looked like he just crumpled.
Yeah. So that's an injury concern for them. And now they have Michu back, so hopefully he can get back to form. Cardiff 1, West Brom 0. And Steve Clark was sacked because of it. Kind of shocking, though.
Two former Mourinho assistants
sacked in the same weekend.
Nice.
That's kind of odd.
But I didn't see that coming at all.
I
didn't even think he was on the hot seat.
Who knows with the Premier League sometimes.
Even winning at Old Trafford, too, this season. You think that'd be enough to buy you a few
more months? Doesn't mean anything
months.
This year.
I know they're in a bad
It'll
run of
always
form,
mean something.
But
I don't.
Just strange to
and
see
the,
that.
And the weird thing is that Di Matteo is being rumored with.
Yeah.
No, sorry, not Di Matteo. That's not weird. If it was Di Canio, then it'd be like really weird.
Newcastle 1, Southampton 1, Hull City 0, Stoke City 0, West Ham and Sunderland also played to 0-0 scores.
Super exciting.
Yeah, very exciting. Okay, let's continue on. Let's take a quick look at La Liga here. Neymar stars for Barcelona in their 2-1 win over Villarreal. I said in the lineup I wrote here, Barcelona 2-1 win over Barcelona.
Well done, Daniel.
Yeah, I was really spell-checking that. But Neymar has 10 goals and 10 assists now this season for Barcelona. He's been kind of good, Derek.
Yeah, he has been very good for them, and he's been able to, other than a few hiccups when they had that massive two-game losing streak.
Yeah.
He's been kind of the focus of the team, and he's been producing. You can't complain with the numbers. They're not as, dominant without Messi, but, you know, all that matters is the 3 points, you know, and Neymar is fitting quite nicely into that team.
It definitely looks so. Real Madrid draw at Osasuna 2-2. What happened to your boys, Derek?
Sergio Ramos just got a record 50,000th red card for a blatant elbow to someone's face. It was accumulations of yellows, but Osasuna has not been a friendly ground to Real Madrid.
Yeah.
I think Ronaldo was able to do quite easily there last year, but it's never an easy thing to come back, especially when you're coming back 2-0 down with 10 men.
Right.
Credit enough for them to score the 2 goals and get the draw even to get to this point. But, you know, Sergio Ramos, that's what you live with sometimes.
Yeah, and you know, his form has dropped off a lot of late.
It's hard to, you know, he's a golden boy. Hard to question him, but there's times where you sit there and say, you know, if you could just smack him upside the head and say, get your,
crap together.
I was going to say it in Spanish, but that's okay. But yeah, get your, you know, pull your sock ups, get your, you know, stuff together and stop making some silly blatant
fouls.
These
seem like actions that a 20-year-old would make.
He's not ashamed to, you know, throw out elbows and, you know, send messages. You kind of need that sometimes, but, you know, I think he's got the record now. Oh, he's piling onto his record of being the most sent off player in Real Madrid history.
It's
not very gentlemanly for the gentleman's club.
No, and Atletico Madrid, they shut out Valencia with a 3-0 win. They're the first team to get a clean sheet on Valencia in 9 months. Pretty good. They continue
still feeling
the top.
Confident there, Sully Montari?
Yeah, I was going to get to that in 11 mistakes.
Unbelievable.
We'll talk about that in 11 mistakes in just a little bit. So they are still at the top of the La Liga table.
Actually, you know, if they had scored another goal, they would be the top team.
They would be the top team. Wow.
They're even on goal differential, but I think Barcelona has more goals.
So right now it's... It's very close, and they're both 5 points up on Real Madrid in La Liga through 16 matches. Over in Italy, Juventus destroys Sassuolo 4-0. Tevez scores a hat-trick. They've won 8 in a row with 8 clean sheets. But the interesting thing, Sassuolo have drawn Roma and Napoli away this season. So for Juventus to get that 4-0 win was huge. Napoli win 4-2 over Inter in Rafa's revenge. It's a long time coming for Sir Rafa. A game that really showed a lot of terrible defending.
It's a hollow victory. How are you doing in the Champions League this year?
Yeah. Rafa.
Congratulations on being the best team to ever get out.
Yeah, the best team to ever miss on the round of 16 are Napoli, basically. And also today in the Italian Serie A, AC Milan and Roma played to a 2-2 draw. So Juventus are now up.
Good news for you guys.
5 points in the Serie A, and of course,
I'm going to assume that that number is just going to continue to climb and the cakewalk towards the Scudetto.
Well, without Champions League, it definitely seems that way.
What excuse do any of the other teams have? Because, you know,
Juventus is so much deeper. They're already more talented, and, you know, now that they have such a deep squad. What's stopping them from just rolling on to the title now? And it's a general...
Themselves.
Well, you know, those horrible Thursday fixtures with the Europa League. Because
yeah.
I'm sure that'll be an endless... I'm sure it's not going to be the first thing Conte says if they somehow drop points. But it'll be top three.
Yeah.
It's always hard to, you know,
with
get your
Europa
fitness
League.
Back from games on Thursday. And, you know, Serie A doesn't help us because they gave us a Saturday game when they could have pushed it to Sunday.
It's every manager's excuse, isn't it? Okay, quickly, let's get to the Champions League draw. Gord?
Yes?
You woke up this morning and immediately sent a text message to Derek and I with an expletive word that we cannot say on the show. What was that in reference to?
I believe that was to Arsenal's draw for the second straight year getting the world's best team, I think, at the moment, Bayern Munich.
Yeah.
And
in the round of 16
just
again.
Just their luck. And to top
Derek called it too.
Yeah, but to top it off, though, was to see who Dortmund got. And that was Zenit. And Dortmund took first place away from Arsenal on the last day. And Arsenal should be playing Zenit. And that's what's got me all riled up right now. But I got to say, though, I do take some positives from this draw with Bayern Munich, thinking that they probably are, there's probably worse opponents that I think that they could have been matched up with, which would be a Real Madrid, a team that they haven't played in years, to my recollection. And that they're playing Bayern Munich coming off a year where they were disappointed by Bayern Munich last year in the round of 16. But they were able to beat them away from home. So I think if they look at those performances, study those performances deeply and look at some video of Bayern Munich in the Bundesliga, they might have a better idea, better preparation coming into this first match.
Yeah, the one thing is, though, Derek, Bayern Munich are kind of a different team.
Look on the bright side of my life humming in through my head as Gord was going on his list there.
Glass half full. Come on, get on board.
I love it, Gordy.
I'm not often an optimist, but no, he's not. Today
it's
I
true.
Am.
He is.
At
he
the
is
end
not.
Of the, at the end of the day, Gord is the only team, or is the only supporter of a team that is still in the Champions League right now.
So I'll be having a Champions League show, and these guys have the Europa League on Thursday.
Derek's, you know, he cheers for like 95 teams, so
it's 96.
He's bound to have a few more in the Champions.
It's always
League.
One more than what you
outside
say,
of
right,
Porto.
Dan?
Okay, elsewhere, the other draws Bayer Leverkusen and Paris Saint-Germain, but maybe the juiciest matchup, Manchester City-Barcelona, and I think Barcelona is going to be in tough here.
It's probably the one team that they didn't want
to face. Oh, no, they did not want to
face.
Especially with the first match being at Manchester City, that could actually benefit.
I don't think either of them really wanted to face each other.
No.
Just because of the close ties, they would have preferred to, you know, see each other later on. But
right.
No, definitely not. Yeah, if you're looking at that Group 2 pot, Manchester City sticks out like a sore thumb. Mm-hmm. Especially with their home form, you got to think that you're not going to be the team on the offensive in that game, at least. So Barcelona's not going to have an easy road through this, and depending on what happens with their, you know, injury situations, how quickly Messi is able to, you know, hit top speed, it's going to be interesting to see what happens.
Very, very interesting matchup there,
you know,
between
Yaya Toure.
Yeah,
I'd love to see.
It's going
to
be an interesting battle in the midfield.
Iniesta or Messi and Xavi surrounding Yaya Toure, and you just see how much, you know, tight. Toure is just like what a...
Not just Toure. Fernandinho's a big physical guy himself, right?
Yeah.
So
it's going to be interesting to see.
Gordon and I were talking about this before, and we both think Barcelona's going to have trouble with the physicality of Manchester City.
And the individual skill of their players up front. I know that Kun Aguero is a big-time thorn in Barcelona's side for a long time. So they're not happy about that. The only advantage that's going for them right now is that he's injured as well. But again, February, who knows?
Yeah.
It's hard to
Aguero
predict
should
right
be
now.
100% fit by then.
Yeah, it's hard to predict because you just don't know what the squads are going to be like. But they're both, you know, Manchester's got a really deep squad. You know, maybe not as much, you know, nobody does, except for the one position that nobody seems to be deep in, which is, you know, defensive backs right now, center backs. But that goes without saying everywhere.
Yeah, that's so true. Last week, AC Milan midfielder Sule Muntari, who scored a goal against Roma today.
Say it the way.
Sule Muntari.
Sule.
Well, he was asked who he hoped his side would get in the Champions League draw, and his response was Atletico Madrid because they're the weakest side. I guess he hasn't watched much La Liga or Champions League outside of his own games this year. Sule, you might be wrong on that.
That's like the ignorant fan's choice.
Yeah.
You know, okay,
he's a
you know
footballer.
What?
He should know better.
Let's say that Sule might be right, and they are the weakest squad. They're still...
It's debatable. Of the
they're
eight.
Still...
Yeah.
How far ahead of Milan are they right now, do you think?
Oh, it's leaps and bounds.
What
leaps
places,
and
what
bounds.
What places, you know, the mighty Milan in Syria?
Oh, they're way
they're not
down.
Even in,
I don't
they're
not
even
in
Champions
the top
League,
10.
Right? So,
they're not even
come
in the
on.
Top 10. It's going to be interesting. They might be a different squad by the time this fixture rolls around because they've already announced
K-Suk.
Two signings, but I don't think Honda can play in the next round of fixtures anyway. So
no, if he was playing for CSK.
So he's,
I'm not saying CSKA, it's CSK.
I like saying CSKA.
No.
Okay, the other Arsenal, Bayern Munich, we've already talked about that one. Zenit, Borussia Dortmund, we've talked about that as well. As good of a draw as Borussia could have gotten this early in the tournament, because they have looked shaky. There's no doubting
lucky
that.
Lucky buggers, eh?
Olympiacos at home to Manchester United for their first fixture on February the 25th. United get a much easier draw this time around than last year where they got Real Madrid. It's funny because I saw so many people on Twitter saying, oh, United, they always get the easiest draw. You weren't watching last year. Clearly.
Yeah. It's a great opportunity for Moyes and his team to, you know, continue their fine form in Europe. And this is one of the better matchups, I think.
That is for certain. Galatasaray will get Chelsea, and Mourinho asked for that one so that Didier Drogba can get a nice applause at Stamford Bridge.
Mancini's return to England.
Yeah.
Oh, and it's, isn't there a little bit of a rivalry between the two? So, you know, it'll be a scarf off.
Or a neck warmer, either one.
Schalke will get Real Madrid. So pretty good matchup for Madrid, I'd say, Derek.
I would say as good as could have hoped for.
Yeah.
I would say it's better than Zenit just because now they don't have to go to Russia.
Yeah. And
Schalke looks pretty disorganized and they're not having the best year.
No, they definitely don't look like a team to be feared all that much right now. And so Real
what, four goals for Ronaldo, give or take, in the two games?
You think he beats the record this year?
If they get to the semifinal, he'll beat the record.
It looks that way. That is for sure.
What does he need, six to tie it?
Yeah, I think.
And you're telling
me nine?
Yeah, so I think it's 15 is the record. So, or 15 becomes the record. I'm not exactly sure.
Yeah.
But I could see four goals sliding past Schalke easy in the two legs.
Yeah, it's going to be extremely, extremely interesting. And that's pretty much it for the Champions League draw. And it'll be on Sportsnet all the way through to the final, starting February the 18th. That is a Tuesday, of course, with Bayer Leverkusen and Paris Saint-Germain and Manchester City, Barcelona. So mark it down on your calendars. And, of course, we'll be back then with two shows a week once Champions League starts up again right here on European Football Weekly. Dan Riccio, Derek Brandeo, Gord Brunt around the table. It is time. It's that time. It's time for 11 mistakes.
No, I made 11 mistakes. 11 mistakes. 11 mistakes. I should pick the other 11. I'm not performing. I made 11 mistakes.
Maybe a mistake was how many times I said time there. Time.
And you continue to do it.
Yeah, time.
I think you did that on purpose just to knock one of your mistakes off.
No, I didn't. Let's try and keep count this week, guys. Gord, let's start with you.
All right, I'll go back to the Etihad and Mesut Ozil. Not wanting to thank the away supporters for traveling all the way up to Manchester, but then receiving a tongue lashing from the giant German.
The BFG!
Yes, the big flying German.
Yeah.
for not doing that. So, yeah, it's a weird little moment, but Ozil has since apologized.
Yeah, and it's
That was the biggest finger wag I've ever seen.
I would have...
Got crap
my
fingers.
Pants. I would have crapped my pants if Ozil came and yelled at me like that.
Well, I mean, this is a time when people have been clamoring for guys to step up and show their leadership for Arsenal.
You don't really show up in this huge game. The least you can do is go applaud the away fans.
Exactly. And a sign of that was also Lewis Holtby, who was the only Tottenham player to applaud the home fans in their 5-0 drubbing against Liverpool this weekend. Derek, your first mistake?
I'm going to have to say AVB's high line. Inability to adjust tactically to what he should have seen coming.
Exactly. And against Suarez and the runners that Liverpool was going to throw out there, I mean, just... And especially when you have Dawson, who just is so slow. He's the typical English defender, you know? Just slow as molasses. And he's with a partner that he really doesn't know all that well. And a guy who's playing out of position... It was a dangerous tactic from the start. It was almost like suicide.
You can say that there was a little bit of hubris in ADB for, you know, feeling confident with the last two victories and trying to do this. He should have been a little more cautious.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And the 5-0 drubbing got rid of his job. He is now unemployed, but still making a lot more money than we do. My first mistake of the week, I say it would be a mistake for the Italian teams still in the Europa League. There's four of them, Juventus, Lazio, Napoli, and Fiorentina, to discount the Europa League. We need the coefficient points as Italians, so please don't discount it like you do every year. Aurelio De Laurentiis, owner of Napoli, has already came out and bashed the tournament, saying how much he doesn't care about it, and it's a mistake, plain and simple. Big mistake to discount the Europa League. It's a good chance for experience for your players and a good chance to really prep yourself for Champions League next year if you can make it there.
That's not very Ringo Starr-like, is it?
No.
Bashing.
Look at Germany. Look at Portugal. France even.
And that's the funny thing. There's potential for some absolutely enormous clashes this year in the Europa League.
Huge clashes in the Europa League this year. And
I've never had a reason to watch it until this year.
And that's completely discounting Latic Magic.
I think they're out of the tournament already. But yes, that is completely discounting.
I thought they won their last game.
That is completely discounting Latic Magic. No, they were, I think they ended up, they needed a result on the last day and they didn't get it.
Wigan!
So the quarterfinals or the final 16 could look like this in the Europa League. Lazio Valencia, Porto Napoli, Tottenham Benfica, Basel Ajax, and Juventus Fiorentina. Whew, that's pretty good.
Those are nobodies.
It's a pretty good final 16.
The problem is that they should, parachute some of that ridiculous money. Ding! Yeah, dollar in the cup.
Milan doesn't need to get $80 million this year.
And they're going to get knocked out in the next round.
Yeah.
There's not even a question of what's going to happen in that round.
Italian teams don't perform well
I would love to see you play the counterattack against Diego Simeone's men. Try it.
A guy that's spent a lot of his time as a player in Italy
That's going to be something special. They see if the ball just sits at the center circle. I'm like, no, you get it. No, you go.
All right. So that's three mistakes.
Yep.
Keeping count. Gord?
Let's go to the Newcastle-Southampton match where Moussa Sissoko slapped referee Mike Jones right in the face, which was awesome.
It was a total accident.
I thought it was an uppercut.
I know. But when it happened, I'm like, oh my God, somebody's thrown something from the stand. Somebody's thrown a coin or a lighter. It struck him in the face. And then you see the replay. Oh, he just got backhanded by Moussa Sissoko. Awesome.
I honestly thought he made a meal of it, though. Seriously.
It didn't look that bad.
Oh, there's
some Luis Suarez
on Sissoko. There's some serious questions in footy when the referees are, play acting now.
Should have just gone up and taken the free kick.
Next thing you know, the referee gets up, starts yelling at the fourth official. Why didn't you give him a red card for that? That's what you're here for, you useless. I was about to say one of England's favorite words that starts with a C. I was good, though.
Derek, mistake number five, please.
Me thinking I'm smarter than everybody else and putting Wayne Rooney as my captain this week in BFW Fantasy.
He didn't even break the 100-point barrier this week.
I got 99 or something like that, thanks to Hugo Lloris.
We'll count that as two mistakes because at Mark Boffo wrote in and said anyone who didn't captain Luis Suarez, basically calling Derek and I idiots. George, who is Bono 2005, also said that, which is pretty awesome.
I like how you're keeping score.
I decided that I would keep score finally.
We've been doing this game for about 3 or 4 weeks now. He's finally decided to keep score. So we're actually doing 11. Is it my turn or you?
You go.
You, me? Okay. I'll go to the classless Emmanuel Adebayor and his buddy Samuel Suokato, is that his name?
Benoit,
yes. They posted a picture on Instagram Adebayor holding up three fingers, Suokato holding up two, adding up to five. And this was this was posted just minutes after the Tottenham result. And it just goes back to Adebayor. The guy's got no class. Goes back to his first game against Arsenal with Manchester City, running the full pitch just to go and celebrate in front of the Arsenal fans. Zero class. The guy just, I hope he never plays in the Premier League again.
Some old wounds being opened up again.
I hate to defend the Spurs.
That's
but
what I'm thinking.
I hate this guy.
He's trolling on the Spurs. You should be loving this. You should be like, just
this is
when
the
I
only
think
time
you
because...
couldn't be any dumber, Adebayor. You go ahead and do something like that and totally redeem yourself.
A lot of questions are being raised about Gord's Arsenal love this weekend. He started four Manchester City players in EFW Fantasy Footy this
week. And I've explained this to you. I even mentioned on Twitter. Yahoo Sports website screwed me. All right? Week 17 wasn't an option. Put my lineup in. It wasn't what's in there right now, and it got moved to next week.
The best part is you had, like, the best score of the week.
I know.
Close enough, at least.
My two best weeks this year have come from mistakes, where I've forgotten to set my lineup, or Yahoo screwed me.
Yeah, you were tied with GM Express for the highest score of the week with 163 points.
Really shows you the talent that's working at the top of this league, eh?
All right, derelict. Mistake number 8, please.
That horrible penalty call that gave Fulham that goal.
Yeah.
That, I mean, he basically jumped and did some weird little double leg flamingo and made it look like he was caught in between. I don't even, was it Barry? Yeah, it was Barry's legs. And they awarded a penalty. I hate penalties that are awarded, especially like in the far reaches of the penalty box. Well, it happened in the corner. It's a goal scoring chance.
Exactly. All right, my next mistake. It's a mistake for Spurs fans to already be calling Eric Lamela a bust. AVB wouldn't even give him a sniff at the field on a regular basis. He killed it in the Europa League against Angie last week. And you know what? If he gets a proper run of games and gets to show his talent, you'll see a lot more from Soldado, who, surprisingly enough, scored 3 goals in that game against Angie with Eric Lamela providing him some of those chances. And you know what? 30 million, I've been saying it all season long, he was your transfer record breaker. He should be in your lineup no matter what.
Can I just add a stat here just to prove how ineffective Soldado has been? John Flanagan has scored as many goals as Soldado in open play this season.
Yeah.
So there you go, folks. Stat
again,
of the day.
This is something that I felt had to do with AVB's tactics and just the midfielders not providing enough service to Soldado, who was just alone on an island up there. All right. You got another mistake for us, Gord?
Jeez. I just gave you. You asked for 3, Dan. I just gave you 3.
I lost count again.
What are we at right now?
We're at 9.
We're at 9.
Derek?
I don't recall you giving 3.
Okay, yeah, that's right. That's why I only gave 2. All right.
I actually have one.
Step up to the plate.
Okay, with Aguero. With Aguero hurt now.
Aguero, you sound like the priest from
With Aguero hurt now. With Aguero hurt now, it's time to find out if the Stevan Jovetic purchase was a good one for Manchester City, because I think he can fill that role as good as anybody. I think originally they'll go with Alvaro Negredo alone up top, but Pellegrini has come out and said Jovetic is fit now, and what better time to give him a run of games than over the Christmas period, where there's a crap ton of fixtures to be played over the next few weeks. And Jovetic, this is his time to prove his worth. And Pellegrini, it's going to be a mistake if you don't give him some time on the pitch right now. Gord.
Agreed. We'll go back to the Tottenham Hotspurs. And Franco Baldini not really getting the criticism he deserves in this whole AVB fallout here, because he was the one that brought in a majority of these players. And why isn't he getting blamed for the ineffectiveness of this squad?
Hey, do you think that might have been what happened? They were actually going to start like questioning AVB and Baldini a little bit with their transfer movements, and that, you know, they get questioned. That's it. He's out.
Yeah, that could have been happening. All of a sudden, the two guys that are supposed to turn the club around.
They're in seventh place. I get it from the optics of the last defeat, but the season's not lost.
They're 1 point better than they were at this time last year.
They're 2 points better than Manchester United.
I don't know.
The only thing is they've scored 14 less goals.
No, they have not scored.
Luis Suarez has more goals than the Tottenham Hotspurs.
Luis Suarez has more goals than, I think, 11 teams.
And he missed 5 teams.
Yeah, exactly.
Unbelievable. All right, that'll put us at 11 mistakes for the week. Be sure to send in your mistakes next week at EFWSN590 or dan.richo@sportsnet590.ca. Don't have time for final thoughts this week. We'll be back to you next week right after Arsenal and Chelsea next Monday, December the 23rd. A battle for first place in the the Barclays Premier League. I'm Dan Riccio for Derek Brandeo and Gord Brunt. This has been a match day number 16 edition of European Football Weekly.